This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right side, and he scores!
Hello, and welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, and I'm not going to fake this crap anymore because I am not the least bit happy. And if you've been watching the games, you know why. But gosh, darn it, jeez. All right, well, more on that later. But hopefully, I mean, some of the happy stuff here will be. Well, we got a very special guest on, Well, Mermaid, where are you? I know you're with me.
I'm here. I thought I was the special guest. No.
Well, you're always the special guest. Always.
Awesome.
With me, of course, is as you can hear, dulcet tones of the one and only Mermaid live to tape from Centerville, Virginia. Anna Knox.
Yes, sir. Another Sunday, but an absolutely gorgeous Sunday.
Yeah, yep. Well, yeah, there is that. Absolutely gorgeous. The weather's great. Weather's great. But without further ado, let's get to our very special guest in continuing. Well, this is the last weekend anyway, but in continuing celebrating Black History Month, try to get as many of our African-American listeners and Caps fans on as much as we can. We got a very special one this week. He is a moderator of both the True Caps Fans Zone and DMV Caps Fans Facebook pages. Probably seen a lot of pictures of him at games if you are on Facebook and a Caps fan. He is Lorenzo Robinson. Lorenzo, how you doing this evening?
I'm fine. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Where are you calling us from tonight?
Annapolis, Maryland.
Annapolis. Cool.
Oh, I love it.
Down the way not very far from where I grew up. I grew up in Gambrels.
Another one of my stomping grounds.
Sweet, yeah, sweet. Yeah, Arundel High School graduate, 1992.
Really? You graduated back then with Denny Nagle and everybody.
Denny was a couple years ahead of me.
Right. Denny is a good friend. His whole family is.
Sweet, sweet. Yeah. Of course, Denny Nagle, a famous pitcher. I think it ended up in the Pirates organization, if I can remember.
Yankees pitcher, too.
Yankees, yeah. But probably one of the biggest names ever come out of Arundel, Denny Nagle. Yeah, I actually went with his his brother Doug. His younger brother Doug was in my class.
Okay.
So, oh, cool. All right. So right off the bat, right off the get go, we got a little bit in common here. That's awesome.
Love it.
All right. So Lorenzo, let's just get into it. How'd you get into being a Caps fan? How'd you get started that way?
I came to Maryland in 1977, Naval Station guy, Navy brat. So I ended up just playing sports in general. But then I discovered hockey, even though I might have seen hockey in South Carolina, but I discovered hockey in 81 when I was in high school at Annapolis. So I ended up going to a hockey game with some friends from Silver Spring and Montgomery County and started liking hockey. Started liking the Capitals, you know.
Awesome. Awesome. And this was... Yeah, so this was back in the early 80s where Caps still weren't all that good, but we're starting to get good. But you got some memories about that.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, who don't get those bad seasons, let me say that. To clean that up, I don't want to say that. Yeah, but yeah, that's how I became a hockey fan. And, I mean, I was fortunate in one game. I got a puck that still sits in my office from Wayne Gretzky.
Oh, you know, awesome.
Oh my God! Really? Yeah. That's fantastic. What game was that?
That would have been towards the end of his career when he was the LA Kings.
With the Kings, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, I had the pleasure of seeing him play live once, and I think that was while he was with the Kings.
Yep. That's when I saw him play.
Yeah, two assists that night. I kind of wish I'd got him to see him. See him live when he was a lot younger, and he had all those 200-point seasons. But Yeah, I did get to see him play once. So you just fell in love with hockey when you started seeing it. Anything particular about that or the Caps, the sport itself, or that drew you in?
Well, I mean, it's different, of course, but I play lacrosse, so I used to play.
Oh, sweet.
The whole thing, the hitting, you know, the whole type of, you know, one-on-ones and stuff like that was a big thing to me. So that really brought me more to the point where I really enjoy hockey more and more than, of course, the fights.
Me too.
Yeah, you sound like our kind of fan. Glad to have you on.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. And how long have you been a season ticket holder?
I've been a season ticket holder since 2013.
Awesome. You got some fantastic seats.
Well, yeah, that's been the VIP seat's been for 3 years, but the regular season ticket started in 2013. I used to sit two rows away from Pat Sajak.
Oh, nice. I love that.
Yeah, but those seats, okay, if you're right there, but if you sit behind that penalty box, you're not going to see anything but glass because it's just, the view is just terrible through the glass. So I started moving over, and I ended up over in section. I was right behind the player's bench, and then after that I moved over to 100, then I moved over to 101, you know.
Awesome. Well, your pictures are fantastic, and you have an absolutely amazing smile that everyone looks forward to seeing what you're going to wear before the game.
Well, thank you very much for the kind words.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So if you're not sure what we're talking about here, you definitely want to hop onto either our Facebook page or the DMV Caps fans. Lorenzo always posts some pictures of what sweater he's going to wear, the hats, everything, the whole nine yards. He lays it all out. He's always got, like Anna said, great pictures from his seats at Capital One. So definitely want to check out that page. That's the DMV Caps fans Facebook page. If you're interested in seeing those. All right. As we mentioned before, not a whole lot to be happy about if you're a Caps fan this week. Two games, two losses, you know, no sense sugarcoating it.
Nope.
So Lorenzo, just before we get into it, just so you know, you are most certainly welcome to, you know, pop in, speak your mind about what you saw, what you observed. I'm sure you saw whether it was live or not. They were road games. What am I saying? But I'm sure you did see the game. So just, you know, feel free to pop in with any of your observations, thoughts, whatever, you know, you saw. Anything you want to comment on, just feel free to pop right in, say what you want to say, you know, about anything you saw in these games.
Okay.
Awesome.
Yeah, Rangers game was a debacle. Like, crazy, you know.
Could not have come up with a better word myself. Well, let's just get to it. So from the scoring summary, perennial cap killer Mika Zibanejad with his 20th of the year, 12:57 right. In the first. Oh boy.
I think Lafreniere, we all knew as soon as he scored, it was like womp womp.
Yeah. You knew it was gonna kind of go sort of in that direction. Caps had something of a fight to them at least this whole period, but yeah, right. I don't know what happened after, but it just went flat.
Definitely. They look like they came to play in the first period. Like the rust was not going to be there, but the rust definitely showed up, you know.
Yeah,
100%.
Definitely. And obviously no other scores in the first, so we jump to the second. Alexi Lafreniere, the rookie, with his 11th of the year. Yep. Lindgren on the assist on that one, making it 2-0. This was actually late in the second period. And, yeah, about halfway through, I would say, is when you saw signs where – The Caps folded like a Hallmark card.
Caps quit. They quit.
Yeah, yes, exactly. They quit like the guy singing "Take This Job and Shove It" is what they did. There's no
sloppy passes. Everything.
Yeah,
you know, that's one of the biggest flaws with them is that they're passing in the defensive zone always leads to turnovers and a goal. Always.
Yeah. You know, no sync. No fire. No energy. No nothing.
Nothing. And especially after being off for a week and especially going against this team.
Yeah, right. They had to, you know, they had to know that the Rangers were amped up for this game. And I, you know, you just didn't feel it. And one of the ESPN guys, the only one of them that I thought had any, you know, prudential. Brian Boucher even said, well, the sleepy looking game for this bunch. And yeah, that's what it was.
Yep, I mean, it just was terrible. And it really, really annoyed me listening to ESPN announcers because, I mean, all they kept talking about was, you know, Ryan Reeves and Tom Wilson. They just kept making it seem like the Caps were scared to play because of Ryan Reeves. Please. That wasn't it. They just, I have a saying I say to people sometimes when the Caps are off too much. I always say too much whoopee time, you know, at home. I'm just going to say it because a lot of times if you guys watch the Caps play, whenever they get several days off, and they come back and they go home, even if they play at home, for example, they usually always come out flat and play flat, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. It's you spot on, Lorenzo. It's, you know, that it's always when they get, whether it's the All-Star break or bye week or whatever the heck it is, if they get more than 2-3 days off, they just get, you know, they get flatter than the, you know, champagne bottle that's been open for a month. I don't know what it is, but yeah, it always happens.
Correct.
So, yeah, and then the third period comes in this game. That's when the wheels really fell off. Caps managed to actually get 17 shots on goal in this game, in that period anyway. But Igor Shesterkin put on a clinic.
Yes,
and
he did.
And you could see that, you know, based on where the shots were, they just kind of started backing up and retreating because, you know, they didn't really – they might have gotten a lot of shots, but they were easy shots. If you think about it, didn't make life miserable for him.
Especially Kuzi. Ranger, shot. Look at Kuzi with the open goal. I mean,
yeah,
had, you know,
exactly. And Alan May was right on the button when he said, "Hey, if his stick is on the ice, that goes in."
Right.
And it might have changed the game. And
true.
Yeah, that's, I don't know. That's just one example, probably of about 1,000 this week. You could bring up and show that this team is just, I don't know what it is, but they're just out of it.
Yep, they're right now. I think a lot of it has to do. I like to call it the yo-yo effect, but I'm not making no excuses because I always believe in the next man up. I don't care because they're getting paid. They should all be able to play. It's not about, well, you know, we didn't play well because TJ wasn't there. Yes, one of the biggest flaws I saw with TJ being out was the only person I usually would see going in the middle majority of the games was always Tom Wilson. Occasionally Hathaway would go in the middle there whenever they were on our offense. But the point is like most of the games I've seen and even the current games, they were always afraid to stand in that middle crease area and just stand there, you know, and probably get these ricochet shots. But it was just like I said, they were misfiring everything. I'm not going to blame it on, you know, all the injuries like everybody wants to say because, yeah, that does play into things. But, no, I mean, these guys were winning when they didn't have all the regular players at one point. Now all of a sudden they were losing and they're getting the players back. They shouldn't be losing then. That's my mindset.
Yeah.
That's more than fair. You're right. You know, and I've always said you want to get traffic in middle. Who better than the big guy with the hands? Yeah, get him in there. But something would happen when he'd fight for position. They wouldn't get the shot going. They wouldn't get the shot on net that would cause the rebound. And I just don't know. It just looks like these guys are kind of hanging around and waiting for April to come, and they've decided they're going to wake up then.
I think you're right. I really think you're right. I think you're right because it's kind of like, I hate to say it, it's kind of like the old Caps. You know, it's kind of like a lot of the players are, you know, that are kind of gun-shy, but it seems like everybody's waiting either for, you know, Alex Ovechkin to score another goal, you know, before they get motivated again. You know, power play. Oh my goodness! Don't get me started on that.
Well, Ovechkin did eventually score in this game, yakety smackety. Not before Chris Kreider and Barkley Goodrow would score theirs, making it 4-0. And then Ovechkin, 2 seconds before the McNugget minute kicked in, gets his 32nd. Kuznetsov on that assist, but way too little and way too late for that one. And I put out a tweet that said, had this game been played in Capital One, because of the complete lack of effort that I saw anyway, this team would have been booed off the ice.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yep. So, yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, you know, we're no longer the power play team. We're the powerless play team, I call it now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds about right. So Anna, this was the one game. I think you said you saw this game and not the one from yesterday.
Correct. Correct. But you guys summed it up. And honestly, I walked away and the only word that I had other than profanities was sloppy. I mean, we are talking, this was a like, what the hell kind of game, and just not fun to watch. And again, Lorenzo, you're spot on. The hype between Wilson and Reeves, I'm over it. Okay, yep. It's like, I am over it, as I'm sure they are as well, because it's, you know, like, it happened, you know, they fought each other, whatever. It was, you know, 4 years ago. Let's move on. Right. But yeah, it's for me, it's it was sloppy. And then our team, 100% inconsistent, and it leads to frustrating fans.
True.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, I'm hoping that all is done with. And the next time they play, it's just two teams that happen to play now that, okay, New York got their win and, you know, Reeves had his awesome game. Yeah, right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, I mean, whatever. So that's all over with. So next time maybe it'll be just two teams playing a game. But, yeah, obviously Caps were not ready to play, and the long layoff probably had something to do with that, but it was just, I don't know, really bad all around.
Yeah.
Three stars of the game, no Caps on there. Gee, what a surprise there.
Exactly. Well, and also for what a letdown for the fans who've been waiting for, you know, 7 days.
Yeah.
Here we are. And like you said, if they were at playing in D.C., I would have been so disappointed had it been there in person, because it's like, hey, we've been waiting, everyone on a countdown, we're expecting all this stuff, and you come out like it was awful. It was sloppy. It was that disconnect. But I'm so tired of talking about the disconnect and the, you know, the player chemistry and whatever. Like, enough already, enough. And then, of course, the goalie situation. So,
well, but the goalie situation, I think we've talked to death. That's probably not going to resolve itself anytime soon. So,
I know.
Probably don't need to get into that too much more.
I disagree with a lot of people on that, because a lot of people I see in the groups I'm in, because I mean, I'm admin and DMV moderating. I ain't going to tell you the other groups, but you know the groups. But anyway, several of them. But anyway, my biggest concern is that too many people are quick. They're supposed to be fans, but they're quick to, oh, we need to get another goalie. We need to bring. No, we don't. I don't believe. Yeah. I mean, if you guys think you do, that's fine. I don't think so. I think the two young goalies, just like Braden was. Braden wasn't the best when he first came out. So I mean, you got to let them grow. And the problem, I think a lot of the fans have gotten spoiled because of the way Braden Holtby played. So you know, now they expect that as soon as we bring a goalie in, it should be the new Braden Holtby. But that's not the case. You know.
Right, and the people who think that are the ones that supported him. You know. Especially in 2018,
right.
But there were a lot of times that people were ready to boot him out.
True.
And, you know, pre and post 2018. So it's like, you know, and Gil and I always joke, there's like the couch coaches is what I call them. The people who are feel like they just know everything as they're sitting back watching the game. And then they send these terrible social media tweets or posts. And it's like, just shut up. Because you know, like, we're like, if you are a fan of any sport, you are going to be frustrated, whether it's the quarterback, whether it's the goalie, you know, whatever it is, any sport, the pitcher, you name it. But when we start to lose fans because they're like, this team's the worst, you know, right. We suck, we're this, you know, fire Laviolette, it's like, people, sit down, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. And that's the frustration. Like, we can say things that are not always positive about the Capitals because we're frustrated, right. But we're certainly not ready to like fire Laviolette. I'm not. And with the goalie situation, you know, like Gil, you're spot on. Like, we've talked about it before. Both goalies, you know, have been inconsistent, but they're definitely have signs of hope. I mean, like, come on. So I don't know.
I mean, I think they're good. I think with the growth and with the continued play, you know, playoffs and everything coming up, I think that they, like you said, the potential is there, and they have the potential to be two punch goalies, if you know, if it gets to that level, you know, if they don't try to move somebody, if the rest of the season doesn't go the way we all hope it goes, you know.
Absolutely.
Well, I would just say this about the goalie situation. I think, and I can't help but go back to a couple, 3 weeks ago when I had Brad Silvestro and Blake Allen on, and we talked about it in a lot of different ways, and the both of them pretty much came up with the concept of, well, look, coach is going to have to, at some point, name a number one, and that's going to go a ways towards, you know, hopefully making things better. And that is right now, that's probably the only problem I have with the situation. But other than that, I think the both of you are right. We don't have really a goalie problem. It goes a lot deeper than that. If it was only a goalie problem, if a veteran goalie could come in here and magically fix everything, you know, then how come we're still losing when we're only giving up 2 goals a game, 3 goals a game? It's because the problems run deeper than that. And
agree, 100% agree.
The people that are saying, hey, get a new goalie and that'll solve all the problems, well, I'm sorry, you're not watching all the games.
No, exactly.
It's going to create a problem. It's going to make another person rich, and the team going to still suffer because, like I say, the goalies we got are fine. Like I say, you're right. Once he names the number one, it'll be fine. My personal pick is I think Vitek is a good goalie, and I think Sammy's a good goalie, but I think the only issue I have with Sammy is sometimes Sammy don't look like he's in the game. And then when he's in the game, when he gets in his zone, he's in his zone. But at the same time, I call him a flopper. He likes to just do all these dramatic moves and stuff. That's just how I see him. But, you know, I think he's a good goalie, too. I mean, tall guy, I think, you know, for the goal. But I think Vitek, truthfully, should be the starting goalie because you can see the performance level when he plays. You know, he gets a good winning streak. I mean, sink or swim, that's my motto, you know.
Yeah. Right. Well, one of those two guys are going to end up playing their way into the number one, and then coach is going to have what's that?
Sorry, no, I was like jumping ahead, but I was just going to say, wouldn't you think if you're in the position of Vanacek or Sammy, and you are in this position, and the team has not this far into the season named a number one goalie, that you would be busting your ass between the pipes every single game? And I feel like, you know, Lorenzo, I agree with you. I think I sway more towards Vanacek because I was disappointed in some of Samsonov's choices and getting, you know, and you know, then he had COVID twice things that probably could have been avoided, hopefully. But he has had outstanding games. But in the situation, I'm like, come on. It literally, we are waiting for one of you. So come on, you know, step up. And I don't know, you know, but again, you know, this is, they're not rookies, but kind of, you know, we don't have a veteran between the pipes. We don't have, you know, Holtby anymore and all that kind of stuff. And so, I know. Sorry, Gil. I know you didn't want to talk about goalie stuff.
No, that's fine. So I'll wrap it up and say this. I think what you're going to see in the next coming 3 or 4 games, I think Vanacek is a little ticked off with how things happened as far as him getting hurt.
Right.
And
correct.
I think what you're going to see is he's going to come out and play like a house of fire whenever he gets the start or whenever he has to fill in or whatever it is. And I think he understands that this is probably the last chance this season he has to prove himself to be the guy. And I think you're going to see him probably, hopefully, bring it to another level like we've never seen it before. So
I hope so.
I'm hoping he's got that in him. And if he does, you're going to see it in these next few games.
I think he is. I think he will. I think I agree with that. I think he's going to perform, you know?
Yeah.
All right. So,
yeah, like Ann said, the biggest thing is with Sammy is immaturity. You don't know if it's like, for example, if no offense to Ovi, but if Ovi, Kuzi, them say, let's go out and hang out, you know what I mean? He goes with them, and then next thing you know, like something happens, you know, outside, you know, and then next thing you know, he's in a bad situation again like he was earlier.
Right. Yeah.
Well, hopefully he's grown out of that. So, you know,
we
can only hope. All right, so that was that game. Now, a couple quick takeaways from the stats that this is forever going to be a head scratcher. This was yet another one of those games. Caps dominated the faceoff, winning pretty much two out of every three, 62.7%. And well, again, it's not just winning the faceoff. It's what you do when you win the faceoff. And like Lorenzo said earlier, they're not getting the guy, unless his name is Tom Wilson, they're not getting the guy in front of the net, in front of the crease, making trouble for the goalie. And, you know, as good as Wilson is, he can't play 60 minutes. You got to get somebody in there making traffic. And so, you know, it's nice that they won all those faceoffs, but they didn't do anything with them. No. Yeah. And power play again, 0-for-4. Well, I mean, what do you expect at this point? Even with all the tweaks and the changes. So.
Yep. They just need to get some for the power play. They just need to get simple. I mean, look at the teams that are supposed to be terrible on the power play, and they go up against the Caps, and all of a sudden, they power play look like wow, you know. Then like make you look like that. You think that opposing team is in the top five, when you know they're like five. They're five places ahead of the Caps, and we're like, I never expect to see the Caps at the bottom of the power play, but now they are the powerless play team, you know.
And if you think about it, all they need to do is just stop waiting for the pretty play and just move the puck, get the other team moving, get the penalty opposing penalty kill moving, and create space
with the puck,
and then shoot.
Shoot.
Don't just stand there with it.
Because that's what they're doing. They're going back into the mindset, like I said, the old-fashioned way they used to do things, waiting for Ovechkin to, you know, to net it for him. But the point is, Carlson, when he brings it down, give it to Backstrom or whoever's there, man, just shoot the puck. They'll score more goals if they just start shooting and stop waiting. Because the goalie, everybody's gotten used to what their routine is. Just come down. They're not expecting somebody like Carlson to come running down, you know, coming skating down, and then all of a sudden shooting the puck. They're not expecting that. That's the catch right off guard, right off the bat. And that's going to create a rebound. I can guarantee you that.
Well, yeah. So they've become the predictable power play. it's like, come on. We know exactly where Ovi's going to. It's like, shake it up. You know, you got to – people – it's not like people don't have access to watching the games and playing it on repeat to say, hey, look at what they're doing here against this team and look at what they're doing here. So be sure to, you know, keep an eye out. Like, where's just – give me a break. It's predictable. It's just not, you know, come on. So, yeah, I know. I am frustrated still. I will forever be a fan, yes. But I am – this week was frustrating, and I'm kind of glad I didn't see yesterday's game.
Yeah.
If you go back to what you said about the power play, and you go back to, for example, if they move – if you saw some of the games when they moved Ovechkin down instead of out of his little perch, you know – the sweet spot, it was starting to work a little bit in the past, early on, when they moved him out of his spot. But when they let him sit there and sit in his little sweet spot, you know, his office, as we call it, but then it's like, it's powerless, you know? Because everybody's...
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, they've definitely got to shake it up, and they're starting to make moves towards that, but it's not really been enough, at least not yet. So, I don't know, hopefully, well, last week they scored in both games back to back at least once on the power play, and now they've regressed again. So I don't know. But speaking of yesterday's game, I think
how was that game?
You were?
Oh yeah, you didn't see my post. How's that the game? I went. One of my high school friends, me and her, went to the game. We drove to Philly yesterday.
Awesome!
Yeah, we were at the game. You can see my post. I just didn't post a lot during the game like I usually do because I was actually watching the game for once. Instead of doing it because sometimes I'm watching the game, but I'm always trying to keep up with the posts that come in. But we went to the game, and, you know, we sat there with the Philly fans, and we had behind us, we had a couple of Caps fans. We had Kelly Williams, and then we had Melissa. There's a lot of Caps people there. We were pretty well represented yesterday, I'll tell you that.
I know also Tyron Waller, who we had last week. He had on, we had him on last week. He was there too.
Right. There's a lot of people there, you know. The Caps road crew was there. I was supposed to be there earlier to meet up with them, but we ended up, when we got there, we just went to Xfinity Live at first, and then we went over to the arena. But, you know, we had good seats. We were sitting in section 109. We were sitting right, you know, we were sitting in basically the tax zone, you know. So it was actually pretty good. It was just, excuse me, I'm sorry. We're sitting in defensive zone. But it was pretty good game as far as when it started. I thought the Caps were going to wake up, but you know.
Well, we were hoping, but it didn't quite start that way. Going over the goals. Okay. So 11 seconds in, I say again, 11 seconds into the game, Claude Giroux gets his 17th. Cam Atkinson and Farabee on the assist for that one. 11 seconds in. Yeah, this was, boy, this one was really, really hard to watch.
Yep.
It just was. So they get the face off. They get into the zone a little bit, turn it right back over, and that was the second goal. Not this wasn't the one with Sherry. Giroux gained the zone and turned Kuznetsov inside out, basically used him as a screen, flipped it past Samsonov, and yeah, off to the races. And I don't know. I didn't think it would be, you know, I thought they had a chance to come back from that, because before this, Flyers had been on a six-game losing streak, so you knew they weren't that good. You knew they could still be beat, but, man, what a way to start a game.
Yep, that was crazy.
That is awful.
If he's sitting there with the Flyer fans, that was just and gritty. Oh, and gritty, too. I made a Jumbotron yesterday. That was funny.
Nice.
But I said, when I said Cap 1, I mean, I'm always seen, but I've never made a Jumbotron at Cap 1 Arena. And friends of mine who've been with me end up on the Jumbotron, but not me. It's always funny because it's like, I sit behind this little Flyers girl and she was waving a little sign. Next thing you look, I'm like, hey, that's me.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, it was, at first, when you first got there, it looked like it was going to be an empty arena. But I can tell you right now, it was not empty. Those Flyer fans were out yesterday, because it was a matinee game, but they were out. And they were out in force yesterday. You know, and, you know, we had a good turnout, like I said, with the Caps fans. But that first period, with that, and thinking that they were going to be able to come back, but it just, you know.
Yeah, it just wasn't to be. And, I'm kind of glad to hear. I know it's Philly, and we hate them, but I'm kind of glad to hear you say that the Philly fans came out, because a lot of them have given up on the team. They've fallen on some hard times. They're nowhere near as good as they used to. I know, Anna, if you remember Carey, who we had on a while back, he's pretty much given up on the team, at least for the near term.
Yeah.
Haven't seen him post a thing about the Flyers on Twitter for a long time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But it's good to hear that a lot of diehards in Philly still believe in their Flyers, even though, you know, not really having a good time of it. So we're still in the scoring summary. Cam Atkinson, okay, this was the goal. This was probably the backbreaker. Well, not probably. It was, because it was the game winner, it turned out. Cam Atkinson got his 18th. Now, this was kind of – it started out as a busted play. Connor Sherry went back on the back check. It looked like he had enough to take it away from Atkinson after he picked it up. But it took a really crazy bounce and ended up back on Atkinson's stick enough for him to deflect it over Samsonov's shoulder.
On
the short side, and yep, right into the goal. This was 18:38 into the first, and put the Caps in a 2-0 hole before the end of the period. And yeah, I don't want to say it went downhill from there, because the Caps kind of sort of did wake up. Not as much as I would have hoped, but the other goal was in the next period, 6:53 in, on the power play, no less. And guess who? TJ Oshie, game back.
Yep, I remember when he scored it right in front of me.
Right. Scored
awesome.
Right in front of the goal, right in that bump position, in the slot, in front of the net. And yeah, so you know, there you have an option there, and the guy gets it done. But we just haven't seen a whole lot of it. Hopefully we will now, but I don't know. The third period, well, let's see. Okay, let's see the shot breakdown. Okay, Caps had, look at this. Caps had 8 shots on goal in the third period. 8.
8.
And the Flyers only had 4.
Like 8.
Right.
It was nothing. I got nothing to say.
That game was the way the period started going after the Tom Wilson and what's his face? I can't remember his name. But I know you know I'm talking about fight. After that stupid fight, the biggest problem I saw with the game and the Caps that I've seen. One thing, sometimes they don't pay attention to who the goalie is. Corey Hart, he's in the goal. He's a rebound goalie. What I mean by that is always every pass, every shot he stops usually ricochets off his pad. It happened when they played here in Cap One Arena, and I just kept yelling out. This, you know, that's the one thing about it. But they don't have enough people. They don't put enough people down to put that much pressure on. I mean, it made him look like he was a great goalie yesterday too. Again, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's terrible. I mean, it got to the point where the game after the fight with Wilson had yesterday and everything. I think it was McCune. Like, after the fight they had, it turned out that the game became, this rest of the second and third period became, everybody was trying to out-hit each other instead of play hockey, what I was seeing. When we were sitting there, I kept saying it, even the Flyer fans that were around me was agreeing with me. They said, yeah, all the goal shots that was being missed, even the limited ones they had, but it was just, they were too busy trying to out-hit each other. That's the only thing I saw, and I was like, man, we're going to play right in their hands and lose this game. Because most of the games the Flyers have lost lately has always been they lose their games in the third period. They always lose in the third period. And then they listen to the announcers saying it when I was in the restroom yesterday. I started laughing. I said, yep, that is exactly what happens with them. They usually give it up in the third, but instead, you know, we couldn't score, you know?
Yeah. And the numbers bear out exactly what you just said, Lorenzo. You look at the hit count, 30 for the Caps. I don't think they've had 30 in 2 weeks, but they got 30 in this game, 21 for the Flyers. And yeah, it just became a hitting contest and nowhere near enough shots. I think if they had gotten at least maybe 5 or 6 more shots, I would have thought at least maybe one of them had got in. But I mean, 8 shots on a guy like you said, like Carter Hart is bad at giving up rebounds. So if you get more shots and get more opportunities that way, but it just wasn't coming. There was no flow. The effort was there. They were getting guys in front.
Yes.
But I don't know. It's like somebody, they're all waiting for somebody else to make something happen.
Right. I mean, I really thought the third period, I really thought with the later stages of the third period, I really thought they were going to pull out and get that second goal, you know. I really thought they were going to do it. And then just, you know, to see the Flyers miss these point blank empty netters, it was just, I was like, what?
Yeah.
Even right in front of me, I'm like, what the? It was just crazy. Then to have to listen to these crazy fans when, you know, you walk them back to the car and they're, hey, did you see the score? Stuff like that. And it was like, oh man, it was just funny. But it was just all in good fun. But yeah, it just didn't look like they won that game as much as I thought they won it yesterday. I thought really after the embarrassment after that debacle, they were going to play so hard that the way they come out and steamroll teams. I really thought that's what they're going to do yesterday. But I thought the impression I got towards the third period, other than the hitting, I said they just can't wait to get back to DC, you know, and get out of here, you know, get off the road.
And you're right. They usually the next game after you know an embarrassing effort, they usually come out do just the opposite. Next game, I think it's like I said, you know, they're waiting on April to come, and then they think they're going to turn on a switch, and everybody's going to be fresh, and everybody's going to be firing on all cylinders, and it'll be back to you know the way they were playing in November, and I don't know what it's going to take to get them out of that because. You know, and I was, of course, I wasn't there. I was watching the feed on NBC Sports DC, and all the guys there, Joe Locker, Al Kokin, Alan May, they were all clueless as to why things are turning out this way. I mean, are they waiting for the playoffs? Is somebody hurt? Is there a disconnect? I hate. Keeping, you know, repeating myself and circling back to the same thing, but nobody, especially this team, seems to know what the hell is wrong. And if you don't know what's wrong, you can't fix the problem.
I thought
go ahead.
I thought they were tanking for seeding. playoff seeding. That's what I was thinking.
And that's the only thing I can think of is that they're tanking traditional about it. Like we used to say, like our dads used to say, playing possum. Maybe.
Right.
Maybe, just maybe. But if that's what it is, then they can't do it for much longer.
Right. Because if you look at their recent history, whenever they were like the number one seed after winning the Metropolitan Division or whatever, they was out, gone. The first, series gone. I'm thinking maybe they're thinking, okay, well, look, we don't need to be top dog right now. Let's see what we can. Let's see. We'll play. We'll win a few. We'll lose some. We'll win some, but maybe we'll get a good seeding position that it might propel us to be, who they are. The truth is, my honest opinion is when they're on and they're really on, nobody can beat them. That's truly how I feel.
100%.
Even with the young guys, we saw it. We saw it at the beginning of the season. I mean, when these young Hershey Bears, all these players stepped in, just think about that for a second. That wasn't no fluke. They proved that they could play, And the fact is, I really believe that if they're on their game the way they're supposed to be on their game, just like how they had the good road winning record until the two losses, but the stuff like that. But they are unbeatable. I really think they are.
Well, that's just it. We have always said, and Gil and I have been doing the show for a couple of years, more than a couple of years now. For me, it's always been about chemistry. And I feel like when the chemistry is spot on and they're out there, not just the chemistry, but they're out there enjoying the game and not trying too hard. And
yes.
Right.
That kind of stuff. It's like go out and enjoy the game.
They don't look like they want to be out there.
No, they don't.
Tell me what you guys think about this. And we know the fourth line is whipping. I can't say the word once I'm in here. Whipping butt. The fourth line.
Oh, you can.
You can hear.
Yes, you can.
If you've ever heard the show, when Anna gets going, yeah.
When the fourth line is whipping
10
ass,
ships of pirates got nothing on her mouth.
Right. Why we don't start the fourth line? I mean, come on. Seriously, we should start them. They whip ass every game. They are the most hardworking go-getters. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, I really think that would really shock anybody. We start them in the game.
That would be the thing, though. That would not only shock the other team, it would shock the Caps bench because you're going to be like, wait, hold on, you're putting me on the what line? Because Gil and I said, I wasn't opposed to Todd Reirden. Fine, we'll move on from that. But Laviolette seems like, no bullshit. This is what it is. I'm going to sit you out if you're not doing anything. So here are the players that are. So let's give them, a shot and humble the other players that aren't doing shit.
Right. They done everything else. He hasn't done that. Do that. Because they bust ass. They bust ass every game.
Yeah.
To me, when I see them sitting in front of me, especially Hathaway, oh, my God. When I see them go out there like that, I'm like, man, let them start. And Hathaway is not afraid to shoot. He's going to shoot. He's going to get in your crawl, but he's going to shoot, too. He's going to deal you hard, but he's going to shoot. And I like that about him. I mean, Haglund, I call him Shorty Hags. It's always a joke because when I met him face-to-face, I always talk about, he's short, but he's not that short. It's just a joke, but I call him Shorty Hags. So if you ever see me, that's why. But the point is, Haglund is a good defensive player, but I think in my mind, I say he need to get back in the hotel room. Somebody go get some of his old Pennsylvania films, that team from Pennsylvania, get some of them old films of him and let him watch that. And say, man, get back to that offensive power that you were, even though you were defense. I mean, he used to hurt us all the time, But I mean, I really think that would be a shocker because you're right. That would wake up these other players because they're like, it'd be like this. Look, put on Beyonce song, irreplaceable, I mean, they always find out real quick. They say, oh, shoot. I mean, come on, all these guys. Well, he started so many games in his career, blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden, he ain't starting tonight,
Yeah.
That'll wake them up when you start messing with somebody. I'm just not saying they care about their stats, but you understand what I'm saying.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No. I totally get that, and I would be on board with that. Starting them every game, but here's the thing: they're only used to playing X amount of minutes. Maybe at most 15, and they're in the 10 to 15 range. So as much as, I mean, I can't argue with you. You're right. They're the ones getting it done. They're the ones getting the result, whether it's a goal or preventing a goal on both ends. They are getting the job done.
We also don't know if they can play more because they're not given the opportunity.
Right. Give them that opportunity because I know who you are. If you can tell me I got to stay on the bench or I can play, my ass is playing.
Yeah. You know?
Right.
He's heavy, but I'll be all right.
Well, anytime a player, an athlete, whatever, this is across the board for any age group, any sport. When you are benched or when you are bumped down from a position that you're familiar with, you are humbled. and that humble is the coach's opportunity to say, yeah, sit on your ass and watch these players take your spot because this is what I expect of you and more. So show me. And right. That's, you know, and it becomes more of a, if anything, if you've ever coached or anything, which I have, but more like swimming, but you, it's a mental thing. It's, you know, you have your own demons, you're competing against yourself, but it's like, get it, you know, you don't just get this position because you've been on the team for so long or because you were, a capital, thankfully, in 2018 for the Stanley Cup.
Right, right.
Or in 2022.
Right.
So step up, show us you still got it, show us you've earned it. And if not, then sit down and watch a guy who's, you know, almost half your age with a skill and a speed set and everything else that he could learn from you. But right now he's going to take your place in the ice because you're not showing 100%.
Right. Because, I mean, there's an old saying, you can smell that sweat and stench when your ass is sitting on the bench, you know?
So true.
Hey, you know, the only thing you're getting the sweet smell because them top dogs don't eat that humble pie. They do not want to eat that humble pie. You know?
Yeah.
No, they do not. No, because it is, you know, like Anna said, it's a mental thing, but it's also a matter of pride.
True.
And you know, I think somewhere along the way, a lot of these guys have lost it because they think they're trying to, you know, save something for later, and I just don't think it's going to work that way. So now that we've kind of talked about, you know, changing lineups and what, you know, coaching decisions and all that, now we kind of slid into that. Okay. So I got a question.
Bring it.
So this team is struggling all of a sudden to score goals.
Right.
Why on earth are they keeping a guy who is pretty good at shooting at the net and getting goals? Why are they keeping him on the bench? And of course I'm talking about Daniel Sprong.
I think they're gonna trade him.
Yeah, I'm beginning to think that too, with what little they've been playing him lately.
Yeah, I think my honest opinion is I think either he's in the doghouse with Laviolette. I always hate trouble saying his name. Some guy took French and I still don't do well. But anyway. So no, I think they get ready to trade. I really feel like they're gonna move him and Kempney. I think they're gonna definitely move Kempney. I just don't know when. I see it happening. But I think they're gonna move. I think they're gonna try to move Sprong because he's
but don't you feel like he especially I mean I know Gil and I talked about this last week that there's always a difference from fans watching at home versus fans watching live, but isn't his speed skill just sick? Like why would you trade him?
No, in person he definitely fun to watch, but I think they would trade him because they can get something for him. That's my only reason. Not that he's not trade him because he's not a good player.
Yeah.
I think trade him because they can get something for him because his stock value to me is much better than some of the other players that they would have to move. You know, because at one point everybody thought they were going to move Hagman. They still might, but I mean the point is, I think with Sprong, you got a good offensive player. You got speed, everything like you said, and there's no reason. That
yeah.
If you can trade him for a top notch, whoever it is that you're looking for. I know you hear about Miller, all these other players, but the point is, I don't think they should trade Sprong. I think they need to put him back in the lineup. You know?
I think so too.
Yeah, I just think, I just this, I just don't know why. I agree with you. I don't know why, but I mean, that's the only reason I could think why they would trade him, just because of stock value, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the only reason I can figure is that eventually they're going to trade him. But if like Lorenzo, you said, they're, you know, they want to show what he can do. Why not just put him out there and yeah. showcase him a little bit?
Right. But he is that player that anytime he gets a puck, I feel like he's given 110%.
Right.
Speed, everything. And it's like, we're always like, yeah, Sprong, woohoo, and think he's fantastic. I just think, why? Come on. You know, it's, I don't know.
Can you imagine? I don't know who the center would be. You know, pick your center, Kuzi, Eller, Backstrom, whoever. But can you imagine a line with whoever you want as the center and Sprong on one wing and Joe Snively on another? Can you imagine that?
I was thinking my line is kind of funny because even it's a shorty line, but I was thinking Snively, I was thinking Sprong, and I was thinking Sherry. I was thinking those three.
That works too. That's three buzzsaws going right. all going through. Yeah, that'll work.
That's what I was thinking of those three, because I said you got speed and everything. You got the fact is, I mean, you can even throw Hathaway in there just because the fact of his his he's not afraid to go down the middle, you know.
Yeah. Right. He's not really afraid of anything, which I love him for. Like, gonna take a, you know, gonna drop a gloves, gonna do whatever. But I feel like Hathaway this season in particular has matured as a player in regards to not just constantly being, you know, impulsive and wanting to fight everybody, but playing smart hockey and being where he's supposed to be and giving it his all. And we're seeing the talent aside from fighting, which is what we have seen from Tommy in the last couple of years, you know, which is why we didn't have a big film reel of Reeves and Tommy fighting, because he's realized it's stupid and it causes more problems than it does.
True.
You know, anything else. So
you'll be the one to pay the price regardless, you know.
Exactly.
Right.
And the, and the league has no problem letting using Ryan Reeves to push Tommy into another suspension or whatever, long-term suspension, just because of the fact. Cause, I mean, even yesterday, I'll be honest with you, the hits he was dropping, like the hit that caused him to get in the fight yesterday, that was a legal hit, but the Flyer fans were, oh, my God, he should be thrown off the league. I'm like, what the heck are you talking about?
Yeah.
He didn't even start that fight.
I know. I said, I guarantee you, I told the people around me, I said, I guarantee you, let them say, well, we're going to put Tom Wilson on waivers. The Flyers will be the first one to pick him up.
Yeah.
Believe me. But it's the shakeup. You guys are right, though. The shakeup of the Lions. I mean, I really believe if they try that. I mean, if they could just listen to the podcast and just try it, they ain't gonna listen. But if they would just try it, if they could just try it, you know, you wouldn't even believe it. I mean, literally, go with the fourth line and then just try Sprong, Sherry, or whoever, and Snively. You know, any one of them, any player with those two, and just see what happens. I mean, come on, it's just like that. It's just like Snively.
Got nothing to lose.
Oh, yeah, yesterday.
Yeah.
He almost had to go yesterday, Snively. You know, he missed it.
Yeah, no, well, right. You know, at least you're going to see, and again, I keep saying it, but Snively, whenever he's out there, he makes things happen.
True.
And, you know, you always see him in front of the net, either getting a shot or creating a scoring chance or getting in the goalie's face. And, you know, I just don't think we got enough of that. So I'm really glad that, at least for right now, it looks like Snively has, you know, solidified himself a roster spot. So I hope for his sake he can hang on to that, and for the team's sake, because I think they need a lot more of that. But I don't know. We'll see.
I think you're right about him having the spot, because what I noticed yesterday in watching bench, whenever he was coming by where Obi was sitting, I mean, Alex Ovechkin was opening the door for him, like, you know, hey, come on in, you know, every time.
That's good to see.
You know, I sit there and study stuff like that. It sounds kind of trivial, but the point is, no, I saw that, and I was like, man, he's earning these top dogs. He's earning respect from these top players, you know?
No, that's not, you know what? That's not trivial at all. You're noticing things like, if you're noticing things like that, you got eyes and you know the game.
Yeah.
So I'm I knew we were going to get good stuff from you, but man, that is the shit. That is the kind of knowledge we're looking for on the show. So
you see it. I mean, the sitting high, as I call it, yesterday was funny because we were talking about that yesterday. Oh, about sitting high. And I'm like, I don't sit high, even though that was not high. That was 109. It was nothing. But point is, to me, it was different because I got a different view because I'm usually side to side. I'm usually right next to the players, visiting the players' bench, so I can't see what's going on at the Capitals bench. Mm-hmm. But to be able to sit where I was at yesterday and to look over there and just to be able to sit there and I was watching the bench because I tried to watch and see, you know, what kind of how motivated the players are, or if they look like they're tired and everything. No, they look like they were really, truthfully, the bench looked like they was there. I meant they looked like they was there to play, but it didn't materialize in the gameplay. But no, I mean, I saw little things like that, and that was a big deal to me because, I mean, you know, I remember years ago, Obi wasn't the kind of guy to open the door for you. I mean, he wasn't that kind of guy. I mean, okay. I'm thinking, here he is sitting on the bench, he just kept opening the door. I'm like, look at this. And I'm like, I was like, go ahead, Ovechkin. I was like, because this is funny.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but he's a decent person, Ovi. I mean, I've met him enough times in person. You know, one of my friends lived next door to him, you know.
Oh, nice. Sweet.
Yeah, nice. I mean, he's a very nice guy. I would make a quick joke here. Not a joke, quick story. 2 years ago before COVID and everything happened, when we had our last VIP party, they always had the VIP party. They had the regular season ticket party at Cap One Arena where you go around, you know, get all the autographs, silly stuff like that. But then they have the VIP party where you actually get to be face-to-face, you know, talk to them just like the regular people and stuff. And Obi's line was closing because he wanted to get home with the baby and everything, the new baby and everything. So what he did is they kept saying, well, we were like 10 of us in line. It was three of my friends I brought with me because I could bring four people. So we're sitting there and they're like, well, he's probably not going to sign your autograph. I said, yes, he will. I guarantee. Person goes, you think so? Next thing you know, they go up to ask him, and he goes, like, he put his hand up, waved up, telling everybody, come on. He stayed there. He stayed an extra half an hour, signed everybody autograph, talked to everybody, and then he finally left. But the point is, it was nice. I mean, it showed how he is. And then when you go, if you're out in Great Falls and you go out to Giant and you run into him at the Giant grocery store, I mean, he, you know, as long as you don't go all crazy, starstruck, you know. He's always in his doggone flip flops. I'm like, man, don't you wear anything else? You know?
That's how I am. I wear flip flops until there's snow on the ground. But I will say, I agree with you because I went to, like out here, they have a big event at the Dulles, what do you call it? Expo. Oh,
Expo. Yeah.
Yeah. And, the last time I went, it was like, oh, hell yeah. You know, Ovechkin's going to show. Yeah, I'm going to be there. And the friend I was with had the OVOs, the cereal box. And
I'm proud to say I still have a box.
I do too. Yeah. I have two. not signed, but maybe one day. But I was like, I'm just here. Like, I just get the photo, and that'll be fantastic. And then he said, oh, I've got this OVO's box. And then I had something else. Then he had something else. And so he asked if I could go in the line with him so he could have one thing and I could have one thing signed. And Ovechkin, it was like, you could tell this guy was exhausted. Like, they had played the night before, you know, whatever. He came out. And he went to sign the OVO's box, and when my friend got it and walked away, it wound up smearing. And he was like, oh my God. He's like, what do I do? I was like, well, I brought my boxes in my car if you want it. Do you know that Ovechkin had no issues, even though they were packing up and leaving, he had been signing stuff and taking pictures all day. He had no problem to be like, oh my gosh, like that, you know, it's like, it was completely like, you couldn't even tell it was a signature. It's just like, you know, just blah. And he took the other box and was like, no problem, signed it, was so awesome about it. And that's like, that's when you just are like, how can you not love these players when they do stuff like this? And, and yeah, so.
Yeah, he was very gracious. The only issue I had was with Tom Wilson. That's, I'll leave that alone.
Uh-oh.
I'll say that for another day.
You can't just open that up. Not with Anna. You can't. on this show.
One of my good friends here, they own Heroes. I don't know if you guys heard of Heroes Pub here in Annapolis.
Yes.
Yeah, my good friends, Kurt and Lila Beal, they own it. We all went to school together, except Lila. Me and Kurt went to school together. But good friends. I was just there last week. But anyway, Lila's a big Tom Wilson fan. So, I mean, every time she posts about Tom Wilson nonstop. And, you know, Tom did plenty of commercial things for them, you know, during the pandemic. But the thing about Tom, I'm not saying he's a bad person, don't get me wrong. This is one of those examples we were just talking about, and how you were saying tired and exhausted. He was at the VIP party, but everybody kept saying, man, he looked like he don't want to be here, you know? And it showed, too. It showed. I mean, even when he was kind of doing autographs, he was kind of like, hurry up. He just wasn't the smiling Tom Wilson that he usually is, you know? And then when he had to call out a name for a winning stick when he's on stage, and I yelled out to him, I said, you need to start smiling more. But he just didn't look like he was happy that night. And I understand he was tired, but I mean, don't get me wrong. He just seemed like he was just like annoyed. And I was like, come on, man, we're the ones who help paying part of your salary. You got to be friendly. I mean, for somebody to be in his position that night, he just seemed like he was one of the first ones to leave. I'll be honest with you, he was out of there quick. Yeah, and that was the only negative I could say about him. I mean, he signed autographs. I mean, I got my jersey and all that signed, but the point is, he just didn't, you know, when I was getting the jersey signed, I was thinking, I better not say anything. I was going to say, you know, I was going to say, you know what, smiling is contagious, but I was going to wait to get the signature first.
Well, that might, not to make excuses for him, but that might have been when he was quite a bit younger than he was now.
That was January 2020, right before.
Okay.
Well, I know the date well. You can't forget that date.
All right.
But yeah, it's okay.
Like you say, maybe he wasn't to have a good night. Maybe he was tired, like you say. And you know, it was that part of the year where they, you know, usually, you know, the game falls off a cliff for them. So might have had something to do with that.
He's still in my top five. Joe Ward is number one, but he's still in my top five. Tom.
Okay, glad to hear. Awesome.
Oh, that's
glad to hear.
All right, we're earning points back, Lorenzo.
Joe Ward and Lars Eller are probably two guys. If I owned a bar, both of them would drink for free.
Yes.
That's funny. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, well, we know why Lars, but Joe Ward definitely my number one. And, you know, this is so funny. Tom Wilson, I think Tom Wilson is probably number four on my list of five. I'll probably post one day. I haven't posted it, say anything like that, my top five players, but, you know. Rob Langway's in there too, because he was, you know, he was always friendly. I said, you don't miss a beer though.
No doubt. That's true. That's very true. All right, we're starting to run out of time, but I really wanted to get into this a little bit with you. So I'm going to preface this by saying that there's a group out there called the Black Girl Hockey Club that is, I want to kind of advertise them a little bit. They're starting a movement called Get Uncomfortable. And what they mean by that is the hockey culture needs kind of a facelift, a little bit of a change, make things a little bit more inclusive. And look, I agree with them. I agree with them. And, you know, and you can't ignore the fact that, you know, racism still exists and that's one of the reasons why we're doing this. It still exists. So I asked Tyron and Stuart, who were both on, Stuart Small, who were both on yesterday, about their experiences, you know, attending games and all that, especially Tyron, who had been, you know, out and about. We went to Nashville, Minnesota, Philly a couple times. So I wanted to ask you, Lorenzo, since you're a season ticket holder and with the Caps Road Crew, also at times, when you go out to games, Tyron said he could feel the stares, but you know, nobody would ever come up to him and bother him, but he could definitely feel the funny looks at times. Do you ever kind of feel like that when you're out there at games?
Hell yeah. I live it. I'll be honest with you. I've lived the stares. I've lived the words. I've been called things that normally, you know, I get situations where, and I'll be honest with you, me being the fan that I am, and when I came into really being a season ticket holder and sitting at games, you know, you hear the little jokes somebody make, this ain't basketball. I mean, you hear those kind of comments. And then I had to show people that I had knowledge and I was very knowledgeable about hockey. And at the same time, I put a chip on my own shoulder. I let my own insecurity, and I'm usually not an insecure person because who I am, but the point is I allowed myself to be insecure to the point where I felt like I had to prove that I had a right to be at a game, you know, to be able to wear a jersey and all that kind of those kind of things. Yes, racism exists. We know that. I mean, it's not going to ever leave, you know, until we get to a point where people really are colorblind. And, you know, it doesn't exist right now. But at hockey games, yes, you still get the steers and jeers because even in the summer, I'll be honest, even in our fan groups, there are people out there that have their views about me because they think, how did this guy get VIP seats in these seats like this? I'll tell you why. I own my own business, number one. I work hard for everything I want, so I get to do that. But the point is, racism is a big issue for me in hockey, and I made it known to the Caps, and I'm about to make it known again tomorrow. But the point is, the reason I say that is I don't want Black Hockey Month, so to speak, to be Black History Month. You know what I mean? I think the Caps need to do a better job with diversity because I'm tired of sitting in the Cap One Arena, and I'll say this, and no offense, because that's who I am. I'm tired of seeing only white faces and all the promo things. That's all I see usually. You know, I sit there and watch everything, and I see it. I mean, my grandnephew was with me 2 years ago. I had the privilege of meeting Willie Horry, and I also had the privilege of meeting Congressman John Lewis before he died. They were there for Black History Month. I got the pictures. I'll probably post them again. And they were looking, the runner promotions people, she was looking for somebody. Oh, we need a kid. Blah, blah. Here's my grandnephew. If I show you the pictures, little kid, you're going to see the picture. Cute little kid waving his hand right in front of him. Here I am, here I am. And we're like standing there. And I was with one of my friends, John, who happens to be a white male, who usually go to games with me. You've probably seen pictures of him and me together. He was there. My grandnephew's father, my nephew Michael, was there. And the young lady just blew past him. As soon as this little white girl come in there, she's like, hey, come on. Just like that quick, and I told my sales rep, I said, is it Caps policy in the promotion department, are they trained a certain way to look for certain people only? And I'm serious because that's a problem for me because it's like yesterday in Philadelphia. I saw a lot of Black Capitals fans, you know, but the point is when I'm in Capital One Arena, I see a small number. I don't see the numbers that I would see, that I would expect to see. Because a lot of people are hidden. A lot of people don't wear jerseys. A lot of people of color don't have the jersey. A lot of people can't afford the jerseys like I do. But the point is, I just don't think they do a good job, I'll be honest with you, as a VIP. And this, I'll be honest with you, and I'll share this right on your podcast. I have until March 14th to decide if I'm going to renew my seats or not. And right now, my honest opinion is, it's not going to happen.
And that's mainly because how you've been treated, you would say.
Right. And even by the Caps themselves, I don't feel like I've been treated like a VIP. I mean, don't get me wrong. I can go anywhere in the arena and people know me. I go down the VIP lounge. Oh, I'm treated like a king. But by the Caps themselves, no, I'm just treated like another person who just happened to be a season ticket holder. And, you know, with my money, they can keep doing this and that. But the point is, I said it to my sales rep. I said, you guys got to do more to make it more inclusive, because that's the issue. That's a big issue. And they got a base out there. They don't even realize they got a base. Not just Black females. I mean, they got a base of Black men. And I'm tired of them parading Fort DuPont. I mean, come on. There's more Black hockey outfits out there. Search for them. Don't wait for February to come and then, here we go, Fort DuPont again. I mean, that's all I see. And I hate to talk like that because I'm not a guy who focuses on race like that. But in those situations, that's one of my pet peeves because I know I can't make life fair. I can't make everything fair. And I damn sure would never say race as a cop-out because that's not who I am. You make your own lot in life, no matter who you are. But the point is, no matter where you come from. But the point is, I just think they don't do a good job with being inclusive. I think that's the biggest problem I see with the Capitals. And I see now they have the Black promotions guy who's sitting there doing the hype, doing the games. You know, like, and then the same thing I saw in Philadelphia yesterday. I'm thinking, hold on here now. And I'm starting thinking to myself, who copied who, you know? Because I was like, I said, wait a second. Philadelphia has a Black promo guy now who sits there in between, you know, the peers and all of that, just doing this, just like we do at the Cap One Arena. I'm thinking, where do these people come from? It's like, that's it? I mean, because I don't see, for when you're in Cap One Arena, anybody knows, no matter what stage you go in there to eat, 90% of the people working there are what? Black, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Wherever you go to eat. So why you can have that many people of color working there, but you can, and even security is the same thing, but you can't have that kind of same diversity when it comes to hockey. And it's not because people of color don't like hockey. Oh, there's a lot of people like hockey, and there's a lot of people out here talking. The first word they always, you know what they always say, the fights. They love the fights, you know. You know, to go, I mean, when people sit in my area and they're not white. And I said, I'm looking at myself, I'm thinking, wow, you guys come. And they sat in the A row, and I'm thinking, wow, I mean, I know they got the tickets from their job or whatever, it don't matter, but it was good to see. And I always made them feel welcome, no matter what, because that's how I did things, because I wanted to be more inclusivity. There is not, because that's the biggest problem I have with being a Caps fan. Good thing now I don't have to prove myself anymore. Only time I have to prove myself is when people come buy seats in my row, and they're the first timers there in that row, and then they look at me until they see me talk to security, or they see me talk to one of my seat neighbors who also is VIP. Then all of a sudden they realize. And then I'm the guy who's helping them, because they buy the seats and they don't realize they got access to the VIP lounge where they get to eat and drink for free. I see them with, you know, these tall boys with beer, and I'm thinking, why you bought that? And I go over to them, I say, do you realize that you have access to go over into the VIP Todd lounge? They said, no. Then I show them, and then they, you know, they do them wrong. They warm up to me later and appreciate everything. But I'm just saying to you, they don't do a good job. They don't do a good job with that. And that's something that I don't know if the Caps will ever change that. I mean, it starts from the top to the bottom. I mean, when I look at most of the sales rep are white. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, then they'll find out when they see me with my sales rep, they say, who's that? And he'll say, hey, that's one of our VIPs. And Lorenzo's blah, 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 whatever. But, you know, my sales rep. But I'm just saying to you, that's what I'm saying. It starts from the top on. If they really change their philosophy from the top on down, it'll trickle on down. And then everything will go a lot smoother. And then there will be a lot more people of color. You know, and I'm not talking about black people. I'm talking about Spanish, Latino, brown, everything. More people there that go into the games, because I see it. I can tell you, I see it. And, you know, I see it every time I'm at the games, and it's like, you know, it's cool. I mean, it's good. When I see, I really love that, and I really think, I mean, I'm sorry, you can tell it's my pet peeve, but I can't shut up about it, because that's the one thing that bothers me about that one sport. I mean, I've never been to a Wizards game. I've been to a Bullets game, never been to a Wizards game, but from what I see and what I hear, there's so much diversity there, you know? So diverse. I mean, all people from all walks of life. Yeah, I know basketball is a little bit more popular, you know, but locally, no. For this area and the DMV, for the magnitude of diversity we have in all these major, these two states and this, you know, District of Columbia, there's no way in hell we shouldn't have more people of color at the games. I mean, they really should go out to try to go into the neighborhood. Like I said, you can use Fort DuPont if you need to go into the neighborhood to try to, you know, to show people, hey, look, this is the team we support. We would like for you to come to the game. I gave away this month of February, I gave away 10 seats. And I can't tell you who the person I gave them to, but I know, because I don't want them to get in trouble. I don't think they would, but I gave them the seats, and they gave them out to people who couldn't normally come to the games, you know, who couldn't afford to come. Even though they were sitting up in a high section, I mean, I bought these seats out because, you know, COVID was happening and a lot of people couldn't come to the games. So I said, let me do this. I mean, I didn't do it under my business, but I did it. And it was cool to see these young kids' faces and see them. You know, they didn't know I was the one who bought the tickets, because I told them, don't tell them that. But the point is, to see their faces, he pointed them out to me, and I'm like, to see the smile and the happiness on their faces, say, these could be future hockey players, you know, future GMs, yeah. Whatever.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, but it's just that's my pet peeve. I got to shut up, because
don't ever apologize.
No,
Lorenzo, no. That's why, you know what? That's why we're doing this, because we're trying to get out there and, you know, reach out to people that have this kind of experience and let them tell their story. That's what we're all about. So, you know, we had, you know, from one perspective, yeah, it's uncomfortable, but I mean, I don't have too many complaints. And now we have somebody on that says, hey, I'm a VIP, but I don't feel like I'm being treated like that. And we need to get the word out there that, because I mean, you are not just a customer. You are not just a fan. You are part of the community. You deserve a lot better.
Yeah, I mean, it's
so
like
if that's your experience, then the higher ups have to know. And it's a shame, because you mentioned the Wizards. Well, they're owned by the same company, Monumental right. Sports.
Right, right.
If they're doing so well with one franchise, why not the other?
Well,
that's like, what I want to know.
It's because, like I said, the mindset is that they're not used to change. That they don't want to. In some cases, you have to understand it, and we both know it. Some people have been raised a certain way. And some things, they're stereotypical. Their mindset is, you know, the stereotype. Okay, blacks play basketball. Wink, wink. Ha, ha, no, that's not true. There's white basketball players. There's Asian. There's everything, you know. But the point is, hey, white Canadians, you know, some white Americans play hockey. You know, occasionally we'll get a brother here and there, you know. But no, I'm just saying to you, and what you're saying is right, because that's what I always said. I said the ownership, is that's where it's coming from, because Now I don't have as much to prove anymore because who I am. I mean, people see me for who I am now because they see when I come to sit in my section and other people who are not VIPs, but they're another season ticket holder and rows behind me or whatever, calling out my name and treat me like, you know, that's cool. The way they treat me is fine, but that's the way the Caps should be treating the people. But the Caps don't do that. They don't do that. They only do it once a year. February come around. Guess what? Tomorrow's Black History Month. Guess what Lorenzo's doing? I'm not going to the game, you know? And I have a post about that tomorrow. It'll come tomorrow. I have a post about that. I'm actually going to be emailing. I'm sharing this with you guys. You guys are first to hear. I'll be sharing this.
I was just about to ask. When you do post that, do please post that on our page, the Power Play Point Podcast Facebook page.
I probably won't post it anywhere else but your page because if I post it anywhere else, I know what I'm going to get. I'm just going to tell you. I know what I'm going to get because I sit there, like I said, a lot of times I don't comment on everybody's posts, but I watch and I know the people who I have to stay away from because I'm not a political guy. I don't care about the politics. I stay out of that. But the point is I know if I say something about race, most people can't understand it in some of these groups. Not saying you guys, but most people cannot understand it because they've never been in that situation. And if they've never been in that situation, some cases they can't understand. So I give them that. But the point is, when you're growing up in years of past, you have to some way change. And some people are just not good with change. And I think the ownership, you know, of the Capitals and, you know, the monuments, but I don't think they're really that way because I look at this stuff because I'll tell you how they got me to become a season ticket holder. They started noticing, here's this guy. They didn't know what color I was. They just noticed there was this guy back in 2014 that was buying tickets and going to games, you know, getting these great seats and stuff like that. Wow, look at all these tickets he bought. So in 2015, I started getting approached to become a season ticket holder, and I did, you know, thinking, okay, this is going to be great. Then I had a couple of moments where, damn, should I really be here? Because it's kind of like looking at me like, what are you doing here? You shouldn't be sitting over here. Oh, do you buy those seats for the night? No, then my season ticket, really? You going to be over here? Yeah, you know. And then once people see that you know about hockey, you can actually relate, and also you can scream out, hey, you know, I mean, clear the puck, stuff like that, and they're not shocked by it. They're thinking, damn, he really does know hockey or whatever, you know. But, yeah, it's the ownership, and like I said, I have a message that I'm going to send to my sales rep, and then I'll probably post the message on your page only. I won't post it anywhere else. So if nobody else sees it, fine. Somebody shares it, that's fine. I just want to talk about diversity because that's what's really in this area here, but the point is it's not reflective in hockey. You know, in other sports it is. I mean, come on, you can go to soccer games in this area, and you can see the diversity. I mean, why can't we get it that way in hockey? Why can't they do more to promote it, you know? I just don't get it. I really don't.
Yeah, I hear you. And I like you said, I wish it was more than just Black History Month. And there've been some Morgan Freeman's the best one I can think of who even has gone as far as saying, well, why do we even have to have a Black History Month? Why can't we just celebrate it, you know,
every day,
right? And yeah, you're right. They have to do more. So I'd like to think that our listeners are enlightened enough to understand that this is one man telling his story, telling his experience, which is what we're about on this podcast. So I'm going to say right now, this man is going to post his story. He's going to post it on our Facebook page. And I would love for everybody to read it. If you disagree with it, fine, but leave it at that. But this is one man's experience and what he's feeling, you know, and he deserves to be heard. And I just want our listeners to understand that first and foremost.
I'm a very well open minded person. I don't need to go into the explanation why, but I definitely am. I mean, prime example, I'd make a joke. It's not even a joke. It's a true statement. My ex-girlfriend, she's a school teacher right down the street from my house here. She's blonde, blue eyes, yes. We dated for 2 years. I mean, hey, she sat next to me at the games, you know, and people, you know, we got the jeers, you know, and you know, things wasn't always good for her, you know, but it was overall we were treated well. Don't get me wrong. But the point is, when I speak about race, I'm like you said, it's one man's opinion, but it's also my experience, and I'm not doing it because I'm somebody that has an issue with people of another color, because that's definitely not me. It's just that like I said, it's just one of those things that I just think it's been hidden too long, and somebody needs to speak out about it because no one's brave enough to do it. If it costs me my seats, so be it. I'll still go to the game, and I'll still be a VIP. I'll just pay out my pocket like I have before. It's not a problem, you know, but the point is, you know, and I think, and that's just truly how I feel. you know, and it's going to come out. It's not going to be a bad story. It's just going to be basically similar to what we said, but I'm not going to make a long window. I'll make it to the point. It's going to be directed to Cavs. I'll probably get some negative comments, not from, you know, why don't you go to another sport? I'll probably hit it. Hey, I can handle all of it. There's nothing anybody can say to me that I have not heard before, and there's nothing anybody who may not agree with what I'm going to post is going to offend me, because they can't offend me, because you just can't do it anymore. I've been through it all, you know. I just use my intelligence, and I will always use that, and I won't go back and forth. And I never directly, other than me probably naming the Caps tomorrow like that, I normally don't name anybody personally. I never do that. I make a statement about race or whatever. I make it out there so people think about it. Not, oh, this right. one person did this to me, or that person said that. And that's not what I do. I don't do that. So you won't see that. It'll just be basically that my opinion is what I'll tell you. I'll give my point on how I feel what the Washington Capitals do and go from there.
Absolutely. We want to see that. We want to see that post, and we're going to share it with as much people as we can. So do appreciate your putting your experience out there. Again, that's why we're doing this. Because, I mean, when it comes down to it, the rest of us, even though I count myself as a person of color, but everyone else, you know, it's like the old saying, walk a mile in the man's shoes.
True, true.
What you got to do.
True, true. And it's, like I said, and it's unfortunate because we live in a lot of people who've never walked in, not necessarily my shoes, but there are people who are less fortunate than me. I'm very fortunate. I mean, many people can see some of my pictures. I mean, where I live in Annapolis is one of the most wealthiest neighborhoods in the world, and we're one of the only two black in the neighborhood, my mother and I, and, you know, and it wasn't easy to hear either, but I'm just telling you that there are people out there that are not black but feel the same way I do or the same way you guys do. I mean, it's something that, in a sport like that, it needs to be more talked about. It, you know, just like the situation we all know happened with the Stingrays player. See, that went away so quickly, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, it's just like, really, other than get rid of the player from another team, it's like, what? It's like, nobody wanted to talk about it. And even though I saw some of the posts on Facebook about, but no one wanted to speak. I want people who are not black to be able to speak. I don't mean just go in there and be negative. I want them to say how they feel about it, because, see, it's like now this bull crap that we got going on now where everybody's talking about, you know, where schools are being taught, all that BS, but I don't get into that. But what I'm saying is, I want people to be able not to feel, I don't want anybody that's not black to feel that in some way that they're responsible for whatever our ancestors had done to, you know, to put things the way they were. But the point is, I want people to be able not to feel like they got to hide behind that, you know. And the one thing I always tell people, that you know the old saying people used to always say, you know, I got plenty of black friends. You know, I was laughing. No, I mean, I had people say it to me even now. I'm like, I don't care. I got plenty of white friends. I don't take offense to that anymore like a lot of people do.
Right.
I don't take offense to that because it's not about that. It, to me, it's just about, I'm just saying to you, I don't care what color you are. If you're my friend, you're my friend. And the point is, I just want people to be able to say, hey, look, if you're white, hey, I don't like racism. Say it. Don't be afraid. Like, hey, you know, I don't like what happened. Like, and you know, this year, I'm not, like I said, I'm not holding nobody responsible for me because my life is fine. But my life was what it was. I started off in South Carolina, Charleston, South Carolina, born and raised. Saw everything from the Klan on up, face to face. Lived in Germany with my ex-wife. Lived right there on our neighborhood. Area is called My Talk. Many people don't know that. May Day. It's called My Talk in German. And just to let you know, I speak fluent German. Anyway, and I speak Dutch. But anyway, long story short, in Germany, and we still don't understand this, every May 1st, which is My Talk, the Restaurant of Color is what it's called in Germany, which means the skinheads, okay? The skinheads in Germany, they're allowed to march throughout the cities in Germany, parade and do everything, and yes, swastikas and everything. And my first experience of that shocked and living, you know what, out of me coming from the South, I thought it was no big deal. But to see it like that in Germany, where I know what Germany's about, but to see it face-to-face, within 10 feet of me, that was just like, as an adult, that's a whole different mindset. But I'm just saying to you, it's something like that is celebrated in that country, even though the history of the country, they've tried to change, but they still allow that. We don't understand why they won't outlaw it completely. That's the only day you're allowed to put out a swastika, and I'm not lying. You can carry your NPD flag, which is a Nazi party flag, and you can do all that stuff on that day. But the next day you do that, you will go to jail if you get caught with any of that paraphernalia.
Like that.
If you put, yeah, but it's just, but I'm just saying that I want people to know one thing when I speak. I'm not speaking only as a black man. I'm speaking as an American. I'm a veteran, disabled, all that. I don't care about none of that stuff. I'm just who I am. I love people. I don't care where you're from. You know, the point is, I just want people to know that. Be honest with yourself. You go to the games with me, you know what's going on in that arena. You can see it. You can see it. I mean, you can see it. Everybody, Tyrone, everybody can see it. I mean, I don't have to lie. I mean, I know what I see. And I'll tell you the truth. Yesterday in Philadelphia, I felt more welcome in the Flyers Stadium than I did in Capital One Arena yesterday. And that's crazy to say that. Uh-huh. And that wasn't because I was wearing a Caps jersey. I'm just telling you, I felt more welcome. The people around me, we were all joking around. We didn't care what team we were there for. We were just razzing each other. But it was no big deal. And the person I went to the game with, she's one of my high school friends. People thought we were dating, but we're not. We're just friends. Lynn is white. You know, so, but it's no big deal. But it just, no one cared about that yesterday. It didn't even, you wasn't getting stared at like, wow, was, you know. It wasn't that big deal. And then these fan groups, I like the fan groups that we're all in, all different ones, because I can see the diversity in the groups. Yeah, there's some issues in there with some people, but I can see the diversity, because sometimes when I'm at the games and somebody that I met in the fan group is at the game and we take pictures and I post them, you know, some of them I didn't post because I didn't know how some people would take it, even though, because they don't know. Because as soon as some people see, for some reason, when somebody see me with a white female, they automatically think it's somewhere I'm dating them or something, you know, and there's nothing. It's just a strictly platonic photo. But it always has to mean something. It shouldn't mean anything, you know? But yeah.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
I'll win to Lorenzo. I just have to do my vent another time.
No. You know, again, no, it's why we're doing this. I always like to say we make the Caps fans the star, and that's because on this show you are allowed to come up and say whatever you want about your experience with the Caps and hockey and whatever else you feel like, and that you have done to
perfectly.
Perfectly, yes, an excellent degree, and this is just what we're looking for on this show. We're not looking to cause trouble, we're not looking for controversy, we're looking for real people to come on, tell their stories as Caps fans and what they think about the team and what their experience is going to the games and all of that. And you've covered, sorry for that slip of the lip. Good God.
That's funny. Hey, it's all good with me. That's funny.
Freudian slip. 1,000 apologies.
Even on Freud. Okay. No problem.
Yeah. I'll be fair and I won't edit that out, but you've covered all the bases and then some as far as, and you know what? It's a credit to your character, Lorenzo, that you and I can laugh about that.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
That's who you are.
Yeah.
And I can tell just from this hour plus that I've spent with you, just talking to you, I can tell you are a man, 100% top to bottom, solid character. And one of these times I would love. I mean, I know you're feeling like canceling your subscription, but one of these times I would absolutely love going to game live with you and meeting you in person.
And you'll get the opportunity, whether I cancel or not, you'll still get the opportunity. Cause like I said, I'll still get the tickets and we'll still sit there. Cause there's not a problem with that. And like I said, you just gotta be careful. I'm telling you guys right now, don't invite me on the show again, because you're dealing with the loquacious one.
No, you know, that's better. That's a lot better than, you know, 10 minutes of silence.
So, you don't have any dead air with me.
No, you are definitely welcome anytime, my friend.
I appreciate you. I really greatly appreciate you guys letting me come on the show. It's a pleasure, you know, being able to chime in and stuff like that openly, you know, honestly, because that's something that, you know, I'll be honest with you, I had to hold back because I usually don't do it in the fan group, because even when I see things I don't like to see, because I see people starting to get political and stuff. I mean, I'll share something with you guys off the air, but it is just a basic thing that I was going to share with you guys. It was just privately between you guys, and it has something to do with my season ticket. Another thing, I'll explain that with you, but I have to talk to you guys off the record, because I don't want to put it publicly until I get the actual fact of that. If that's
okay.
Really the truth. Well, I'll say, and then you understand what I mean when I say it.
Well, okay. So, you know what? You can Facebook message the both of us, and we'll talk about that. And it'll just be between us.
Absolutely. Right.
Yeah. All right. When it was brought to my attention, it kind of shocked me, but if it turns out to be true, I'll do that another way, but that was just something that I didn't expect to hear. But
we want to hear all about it.
Definitely. All right. I really appreciate it. Thank you all for the invitation. I enjoyed myself. My first ever podcast ever.
Oh, yeah.
Not your last.
Part of or listened to.
Definitely not your last. You were not fantastic. Your last. You, and you, thank you so much.
You are coming back, my friend.
Greatly appreciate it.
All right. So, yep. So, we ran a little long, but as you heard, I'm sure it was all worth it. It's all worth Absolutely. It to me anyway. And to the mermaid. Okay. So we're going to wrap it up here next week. Got a few more games to cover, starting with the Toronto game, coming back home, quick three game road, homestand rather, starting with the Toronto game, Toronto, who just scored 10 goals in their last game. Wake up defense. Here they come.
10 goals. What
yeah.
The hell?
10 goals, one game. So
I still think that's a fluke.
Well, either way, defense better be on their A game, because if they're not, yeah, going to be a long
We're
one.
Screwed.
Yeah. Anyway, for Mr. Lorenzo Robinson and the Mermaid Anna Knox, this is the Blue Liner on Point signing off and reminding you that I've been doing a little research about bears. There's only one type of bear that has no teeth. Gummy
bears. But they end up in some teeth.
I got another fan, Anna.
You do. Oh, Lorenzo.
You laughed.
You and I need to talk.
Yeah.
Gummy bears. That's funny. Hey, that's almost as good as that. I colored everything.
Hallelujah. And let's go, Caps.
All right, Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.
Okay, Blue Liner still here. So I hope you enjoyed that episode with Lorenzo Robinson and hearing him tell a story about being a Caps fan. And, well, unfortunately, as you know, we can all experience and understand, it's not all good. But speaking of not all good and being uncomfortable, there was a situation earlier in the week that I need to address because it affected two fellow Caps fans that I consider brothers, actually. And I'm not going to name names. You guys know who you are. But there was a to-do about Alex Ovechkin. I'm not going to sit here and rehash that discussion all over again. Everybody who bothered to listen knows my opinion on the whole story. Not going to rehash the story. In my mind, my heart, it's over and done with. He said what he said. And we're all having to live with whatever fallout there is from it. I will say this much, though. If you have completely lost respect for him to the point where you feel like you can no longer cheer for him or, as a player or for the Caps as a team, well, I pity you, but you're free to leave. But I'm here to say that it breaks my heart. It really, really does that. Two of my friends, two of my dear friends, two of my brothers and fellow Caps fans have been torn apart because of this. And I'm just making an appeal right now to all of my fellow Caps fans. No matter how bad things get, no matter what situation arises, no matter how far apart we may be as far as whatever happens, and yes, war isn't funny and is to be taken seriously and is literally a matter of life and death. But I would hope that to all my listeners out there, whatever happens, whatever discussion comes up, you don't let the disagreement split everything so far apart that the distance is too great to gap. So I just want to put it out there that I'm pleading with all my loyal listeners and board posters at the Facebook page. Please don't let this happen again. I will do everything in my power not to let it happen again, but please keep in mind that at the end of the day, we're a family. And I want us to stay that way for all time because we're all Caps fans. So that's all I wanted to say. And really hope you enjoy the podcast, this episode, continue to enjoy. And we'll stick by this team, and sooner or later they'll figure it out. I'm worried, but not too worried. I'm not giving up. So don't you guys give up either. And thanks for indulging me.